Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve, cause I'm chilling in the
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the podcast, Theanos, presented by Moots Pizzeria and Bar. Before or after the game, hit up Moots Pizzeria, located on Library Street in the heart of Detroit. My name is Jordan Hall, and I'm joined, as always, by a man who exclusively, aggressively removes his clothing. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, what's going on with you?
Yeah, I practically ripped my finger off yesterday, tearing my clothes off. Got to get right to it, you know? You got to drop those clothes in a hurry sometimes, you know what I'm saying?
I definitely do. I obviously am referring to the Zach Plesac incident. Where does that rank for you in the realm of embarrassing player injuries? Because there's actually a fairly long history of them.
Yeah, and it just seems like it's baseball players. I mean, aside from Jason Pierre-Paul, I mean, do you really hear about this stuff in football or any of the other sports, really?
In football, you do. I can't remember who it was. Yeah. And a good podcast host might have looked this up prior. But there was a player that, like, dropped, I want to say, a glass bottle. And just instinctively, you know, how soccer players like to keep things in the air, like, tried to keepy-uppy it with his foot. And as you might imagine, a glass bottle going into his foot didn't end well. But yeah, Sammy Sosa's sneeze was kind of the other big,
yep.
I wouldn't say funny, because you know, you never want to see a professional athlete get injured. That's their livelihood. But at the end of the day, it's kind of funny.
I have a theory about this. Would you like to hear it?
Absolutely.
My theory is that baseball players do not do many more stupid things than your average athlete. It's just that their season is so long and they play every day that it gets reported more. It's a math problem, not an injury problem. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
You buy that? Like, because the season is longer. If Joe football player hurts himself aggressively taking his jersey off in practice, he'll probably be ready to go for Sunday. So it won't get reported. And if it happens in July, that's also not going to get reported because the season only 16 games.
We're like 3 minutes into the show and there's already been more logic than most of the previous 123 combined.
I'm dropping all the analytics on you.
Have you ever suffered an unusual injury? You're a bit of a fiery guy. I can see something like that happening.
You want me to tell you some embarrassing injuries that I have?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, this one is kind of embarrassing. This is a Spencer Torkelson type situation. One time I was opening a can of chicken, like canned chicken, I sliced my finger on the lid, the top of the can. And I was home alone at the time, but I was so embarrassed that I didn't want to call anybody or go get any stitches or help or anything because my wife would have, you know, I didn't want to worry her or whatever. So I just, you know, kind of taped it together. And now I have a huge scar on my middle finger where I chicken can cut myself.
It's always good to have a story.
You want one more or not?
Yeah. Boy, do I.
So when I was growing up, we had a wood burning stove in the center of our home, and my folks heated the house almost exclusively with wood in the wintertime. And when I was little, I don't know, 3 or 4, maybe 5. I don't know how old I was, but the house was cold around the outside, but it was warm in the middle when I took a bath. I got out of the bath and I was going to go warm myself near the wood burning stove. And as one does, I backed up towards the stove to heat my posterior. Well, I bent a little far and got too close to it, and I scorched my buttocks.
Wow.
On the wood burning stove, and I had a burned butt. And that's a fun family story that they like to tell about me.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the kind of one that parents would want to sit on. I'm very curious. Like, that has to be really, you know, detrimental to your everyday life. Like, you sit a lot. What did you do?
Well, it was just a scar. I mean, it healed. That was a long time ago.
So it was just. I wasn't meaning long term. I was meaning in the short term. Like, were you okay to sit immediately? I'm thinking about people who like,
no, like they bandaged my cheek.
So were you on your stomach for the next 3 to 6?
For a little while, yeah, I was. I could not sit for a while, but you know, kids heal so fast, right?
Sure.
Especially that fleshy part. So I was good to go before no time.
So obviously, Zach Plesac, when he ripped off his shirt aggressively, it was in frustration. Do you have an aggressive, you know, release your frustration move that's kind of like your go-to?
Well, that's a good question. No, I don't think so. Do you?
I feel like the only thing that I get really like annoyed about is when like a Man United player will miss an open shot. And I feel like I kind of give one of these, like, look to the sky and, you know,
you have to describe it. People cannot see you.
Look to the sky and gesticulate wildly, like, you know, what just happened? How did they miss
Do you say I carumba like a cartoon character?
I don't, but based on what I'm seeing myself do in the little thing here, I feel like that would be pretty fitting.
You look like a little bit like Yosemite Sam without the guns.
I'm going to go ahead.
Like an angry, go ahead and angry cut that one bearded out at this prospector. Point. Yeah.
All right. So, Eric, the Free Press started a conversation this week, and I think that we should probably weigh in. I feel like we have kind of a unique perspective on this based on where we live. But where does the up north begin to you?
Oh, yeah. This is a fascinating thing.
Did you see this
thing.
Graphic that they put out? So, so number one cuts off at, like, the Keweenaw Peninsula. Number two cuts off at...
Which is a ridiculous thing.
Yes, that is absurd.
That's straight out. Out the door.
Two is at the bridge. Three looks like it's about 10 going across-ish. Four is like at the base of the thumb, and then five is like north of Detroit. All right, I have very strong feelings on this. I'm assuming you do too. I'll let you go first.
Well, a lot of people commented to it that up north is more of a state of mind. Mm-hmm. If you will, it's not a line of longitude.
True.
So, I would tend to agree with that. And I would say anywhere that's about 45 to 60 minute drive north of you is considered up north.
All right. I can't disagree.
An hour. I'll say an hour. If you drive an hour north of your house, you're up north.
Especially from where you live. I think that's definitely true. On the west side of the state, basically anytime you get north of Grand Rapids, I feel like you're up north.
But okay.
You go to the east side, and you got like Flint and Saginaw, which are
that's true.
Probably
you gotta work
hour.
A little harder at it.
Yeah, I feel like you gotta kinda get up towards like Bay City. At that point you're up north. I think 10 is a real good divider line.
Yeah, I buy that.
Now,
I buy that.
There were some people in my comments that say that you know, just the UP is up north. How do you feel
how
about
did,
that?
How
statement?
Did you deal with that when you lived in Traverse City? Did you feel like you lived up north?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, for me, obviously going up north was the UP, which I wouldn't do because there's not, you know, fancy coffee shops and zoos up there, but people do. I don't know. Traverse City is always up north. I feel like that, Cadillac, Petoskey, like those are kind of the non-negotiables. Anything beneath that, like is up for debate.
See, for me, it's peculiar because I'll head 131 north, and to me, Big Rapids definitely feels like up north.
Yeah,
but Pearson kind of doesn't. You know, so
I'd be lying
I guess
to you if I told you I had any idea where Pearson was.
Sand Lake doesn't really feel like up north. I'm trying to pick the exact exit that is up north. I feel like exit 131. This is the White Cloud exit. Where you get off to go to the River Ridge Campground. That is the delineation for what is up north. I have just decided.
So do you know all of the 131 exits? Like, you know, the 96 exits?
If I had to work at it, I probably could come up with over half of them.
Truthfully, there's not a whole lot between like Big Rapids and Cadillac.
Right. I could come up with most of them between Grand Rapids and Big Rapids, probably.
Maybe a future power ranking. Stay tuned.
When we get into hunting season, wouldn't that be that'd be perfect, wouldn't it?
It would be something. You can get more from the two of us on Twitter and Instagram at hosted by Jay Hall. That's me at Eric Wayne's Brain. That's Eric. And the show is at Podcastianos. And on Facebook, we are at Podcastianos. Moots Pizzeria and Bar is, of course, our presenting sponsor. Not our only sponsor, but our presenting sponsor. It is the Motor City's only authentic New York pizzeria and has become a staple in the Detroit pizza scene. Amongst the best of the best we have to offer, with favorites like the Garlic Knots, the Uptown, and the Bronx Pizza Gemelli Pasta, and the Chocolate Lava Cake. And they have some killer cocktails and a great hazy IPA for the fanciest among us. Stop in with friends for a few pies or grab an authentic slice from their slice counter. When we were there, we saw people get in and out. It really can be boom, boom, boom if you want it to be. It's going to be an instant favorite. Visit mootspizzeria.com to place an order or to learn more. And don't forget, they offer 2 hours of validated parking in the Z lot. Tell them that Jordan and Eric sent you.
Yeah, that'll be a super comfortable thing to do. Just go to your hostess or your server and say, let me tell you, I am here for one reason. And that is because of Eric and Jordan. Please tell your supervisor or authorities? That is why I'm here. They'll expect it. So many people are doing it. Just do that.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannis.
Eric, this is two straight weeks where I have to be honest, I have mostly good things to say about our team. We discussed.
Are you otherwise not honest? Are you a dishonest person?
50-50. We discussed last week might have been the best stretch of the season, but sweeping the Yanks at home was pretty fun.
Feels good. Feels good. And, you know, and people try to take it away from us. People tried to poo-poo it. The Michael Kay, who is the announcer for the Yankees.
Screw that dude.
They played the clip of like, yeah, you can't lose. Look at Scooble's win-loss record, and we've just made so many mistakes. Like, even my boy, Craig Calcaterra, in the little newsletter to – you can't lose to the, you know, to the Tigers or whatever. And I was like, come on, we're a little better.
Your boy, John Boy, he tweeted early in the year that no team can make the playoffs that's been swept by the Tigers, which, to be honest, that's pretty funny. It was a really good week. Did you see Dan Dickerson said that the Yankees lineup was very pitchable? Feels like an unnecessary but kind of accurate dig.
Ouch. Yeah, I suppose.
The thing is they're not really missing that much. I mean, you got LeMahieu and Stanton and Judge and Urshela and like all these guys are kind of their main dudes. I mean, I guess Hicks is out, but he was hitting like .150 before he.
They seem like an all or nothing team to me. Like either they're clicking and, you know, they have a lot of big sluggers. Either they're pounding people or they seem a little lost, right?
Do you think
that maybe they start out the season really slow?
They did, and then they started to pick it up again.
Pound people.
And maybe we caught him at the right time, or maybe we're just turning a corner. He says
our pitching's been good, though. I mean, Yankees or no Yankees, we could have run our guys out and done just fine.
I mean, Mize basically outdueled Gerrit Cole, which is not a sense I thought I would say this year.
You're exactly right. Don't you have a little bit of a warm fuzzy feeling about our young guys? You know, somebody posted a picture of Smoltz, Glavin, and Maddox next to Turnbull, Mize, and Scooble, and I thought, boy, that's a little bit of hubris, but it's something to dream on, right?
It is. It's been so long since we've had anything to dream on. Let's take these three. And obviously Boyd's situation is a little bit different, a little more established, only one more year left on the deal, but excuse me, a bug just flew down my throat. He's been buzzing my head for like the last minute. And
did you eat it?
Yeah. I mean, it was just one of those little gnats that come from being on plants. Which I know
you ate a plant now, just right now.
Just right now.
That's a big moment live on the podcast, friends. Yeah. Not everybody just eats insects on a live recording all the time.
The things I do for content.
Your face did look like you just ate an insect. It was a little distorted.
Do you have any idea what I was talking about before that?
Boyd's situation is different.
Oh, and anyway, we have those three young guys that are under control for a long time, and yes. We have the hottest pitching coach in the game.
Oh boy,
here it comes! At the helm,
buckle up, people.
I mean, let's just stop, take a moment, and enjoy this. We've discussed this many times. Mize and Scooble are going to have their ups and downs this year. But they're both kind of on an up right now, and they're both trending up hard. This is good.
If we're going to do the Fetter Fetish thing, shall we talk about Funk?
Yeah, let's do it.
Did he fix Kyle Funkhauser?
I think so. Here's my question for you. Were we too hasty to write him off? The stuff was never not there. Like, he always threw hard. He always had that good slider. He just couldn't put it together. Should we have seen that this was possible?
No, because we've seen a lot of stuff-only guys who have failed to put it together, right? I don't think it's unreasonable for us to, after an extended period of searching, to say, yeah, this guy may not have it. But you're exactly right. I mean, all the tools have been there.
Yeah. We were in Milwaukee to see him play, what was that, yesterday? Feels like a lifetime ago. But yesterday, I mean, he was very, very impressive. And he just kind of keeps racking up scoreless outing after scoreless outing. At a certain point, like, that's kind of all you want from relievers. Like, it, by and large, it doesn't necessarily matter how it gets done. Just go out there and throw up zeros, and it's happening.
Basically the Brewers ran out their ace, right? What's his
Corbin
name?
Corbin Burns. Yeah.
Yeah, Corbin. Very good. And we cobbled together. We started Alexander. It was a bullpen day, and we went toe-to-toe with him, right?
I have to be honest. When we were making fun of Rule 5 Ronnie like 3 weeks ago, I didn't foresee watching him pitch live with my own eyes just a few weeks later in the season. He was fine. He was perfectly adequate. Somebody asked me, I tweeted something effect of, maybe I was wrong about Funkhauser, and they're like, Rule 5 Ronnie too? I'm like, okay, let's pump the brakes here. No. But yeah, that was he seems to have a magic touch. Joe, big guy. What?
Why is he not magicking Daniel Norris? Fix him up better?
It's a good question. I mean, without trying to pass the buck for my boy too much, you know, different tactics work with different people. Obviously.
Sure.
They're working with guys like Casey. Casey is publicly crediting him with a lot of his success.
Okay.
Which is obviously.
All right. I was close to accusing you of the, if it's good, it's Fetter. If it's bad, it's not Fetter.
That doesn't sound like me. That couldn't be it. I'm sure I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm glad
he fixed Urania. I mean, he was fixing Tehran. Obviously, yeah. Exaggerations on both of those accounts. Well, but
so I've said this on the podcast a number of times, but it is extremely difficult for me to parse out what bits of a player's success have to do with the coaching.
Absolutely. Right?
But I think we can solidly establish that a rookie freshman pitching coach is certainly not to the detriment of the squad. He's not doing any worse than Rick Anderson.
Definitely not. I feel like with a pitching coach, a lot of it, without knowing the ins and outs, a lot of it comes down to he's clearly looking at these guys with fresh eyes. I feel like that's a lot of it with Turnbull and Boyd. You know, he doesn't have the same fed up ideas or, you know, stale ideas that Rick Anderson was. Sorry, man, that bug
Is he taking up residence? Is that bug breeding in your throat?
I think there's a chance he might
be. A gnat nest.
He's just going to be part of the show now. We'll have to name him. And he has, I don't even remember what I was saying. He has a lot of different ideas. He has a lot of new, which sounds a lot to different, sounds a lot like different, but fresh, new, different, innovative. All of these ideas. And
wait, what? Innovative?
Innovative. Is that not innovative?
Innovative?
Yeah.
Innovative or innovative?
Innovative. I'm pretty sure that's how, must be how the British say it. I consume a lot of British content.
It's quite innovative on my schedule. Who hassles you more than me? I'm sorry. You can't get through a sentence without, you can't,
I mean,
even,
it's mostly,
be,
mostly the bug.
You can't be
point.
Innovative without me hassling you. I'm sorry.
Point being, continue. Position coaches like that, a lot of what you're doing is just kind of throwing tips at a wall and seeing what takes with guys. And I think that his tips that he's throwing are better and more innovative than what they're used to in the past. And that's why some of it has worked. Does that make sense?
Sure. Because I don't know the math on this, but how much time can a guy spend with each player? I know he's,
I mean, they're
working
all,
before
all
and
of
after
the starters games, but are going to be throwing bullpens between starts, and he's going to be watching them, sure, like a hawk. I mean, I'd imagine, yeah, more than you would think.
Okay, that's fair.
The only other pitching talk I want to get to is, boy, I feel like we're kind of approaching the point where we need to decide, and obviously not you and I, unfortunately, but we either need to trade him or we need to re-sign him. 2022 is his last year that he signed for. Value's probably never going to be higher, which, you know, if we're trying to trade him, it's a good thing. If we're trying to re-sign him, it's not. I feel like there's been almost no talk about what to do with him outside of Tigers Twitter. What do you see there?
I think that's fine. I don't see any reason to trade or do anything with him now, because if he's under contract for next year yet, you want as much information as possible. Remember when we re-signed Miguel Cabrera to an extension
that we didn't
a year early? Yeah. And I think that was a bad choice, because another year of information would have helped a lot. There was nothing stopping you from signing him later. And with Boyd, re-signing him now, you're buying high a bit. And I just don't see any upside to going either way right now, because if you trade him now, you miss out on, you know, basically from this deadline to the next deadline, a whole season of him.
Counterpoint
so
to
I,
that.
I wait.
Counterpoint to that, we've seen him peak in value and crash back to earth.
Right.
I mean,
but at least worst case scenario, then crashes back. We at least get the innings out of him.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, it seems unlikely at this point that he's going to bring back an absolute haul at the deadline or anything like that.
Right, yeah.
So maybe it's just, like, they just aren't giving, I say they, clubs just aren't giving away hauls anymore. Like, that's just kind of not how it's working.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's valuing prospects higher, so.
Fools.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah. Joking.
So, yeah, I don't know with Boyd. I would just wait and see. See once what you get. We have time, yeah?
We do. All right, so I have a tweet from Bob Nightingale. You might have seen this. It was kind of doing the rounds. But this is what he says. Baby steps. It may not be worth a raucous celebration, but the Tigers' 14-13 record in the month of May was rather significant for the franchise. It was only the third winning month in the past five seasons. Not great. But
baby steps.
We, like you said, we went 14-13. We haven't done that at any point so far this season. And we were talking about being historically bad on this show not too awfully long ago.
So I forget where I heard it. I think it was on one of the broadcasts. I think it might have been the TV broadcast. But basically the assertion was, yes, this is the seeds of a culture change in Detroit. The new regime is enacting its philosophies, and we're shedding our losing ways. And this is the beginning of the beginning.
I'm going to guess that was on the television broadcast.
I'm certain it was. Yeah. Do you buy that? I think it was Jack Morris, honestly.
That is an extremely difficult one to answer, because
there's a lot of false starts sometimes.
There's a lot of false starts. There's signs of life that aren't necessarily signs of rebirth, if that makes sense.
Sure.
I feel like what you can look at is how we're getting this done, and that's with young, sustainable pitching, which makes me think, yes. I mean, the hitting...
Because you can buy some bats.
And the hitting hasn't been particularly great to begin with. Like, it's right. It's been young pitching driven, which makes me lean, I would say, towards a certain level of sustainability to this newfound success. We are never going to go anywhere until we address the lineup, though.
What is the true takeaway from the book and the movie Moneyball?
You can find your Scott Hatterbergs. You can find your Arubio Durazos. You just need to find on-base guys.
That's the main point. The unspoken, silent point of Moneyball was you need to have stud pitchers. Remember they had Mulder, Zito, and...
Tim Hudson.
Hudson. And they hardly made the book. But those three guys were the reason the A's won so many games in a row and that they were good. Yes, it was a little bit of innovation. It was obviously innovation on the hitter side and some on the pitcher side. But it's hard to moneyball your way into studly young pitchers, right?
Yeah.
And that's the Braves, you know, anywhere you look. It's kind of like the NBA where you have, you know, you have to have your big three. It's almost like you need a core of good young pitchers. It seems like to me.
And where can we find some of that?
Good young pitchers? By losing a lot and getting high draft picks? Is that what you're suggesting?
I mean, just.
Or Fetter coaching them up.
We have. Yeah. Both of those. Yeah. So tie a bow on that. I'm not discouraged. I don't know. I'm not sure that I'm going as far as to say, you know, seeds of rebirth like your boy Jack Morris, but I don't know. It could be worse. Like we're definitely moving in the right direction,
yeah.
Which is something that I didn't think I'd be able to say like a month and a half ago.
We can say trust the process without laughing so much right now. A little bit trust the process.
Kind of. I feel like the process was bestowed upon us as opposed to us like having this process that we were trusting in. Like,
yeah, there was no master plan.
We
saying?
Backed into the process wanted to get cheap. Like you did with the wood burning stove. I mean, I feel like that's kind of what has happened here.
No master. Yeah. No intentionality there.
Well, I mean, if you keep picking in the 1-1 or 1-3, eventually you're going to have a bunch of young guys like we have.
Yeah. This wasn't a tactical deconstruction. This was the Illich family wanting to save some money. And if we stumble into some good draft picks, well, that's a double benefit.
That is exactly
that's
what
the cynical take, right?
No, but that's the real take. That is exactly what's happened.
All right.
Only downside of this past couple weeks has been Miggy. He is now 0 for his last 17, which, according to my notes, is not good. Is there anything that can be done there? Obviously, come to you as the hitting coach expert here.
You know, very popular, some popular people on Twitter, World of Isaac, I think, our friendly eating man, said he likes to sample the snack foods.
I know he does. That's it good. World of very Isaac. Reductionist.
And he's a Tiger's
funny guy. Yeah.
Intellect. Yeah, sure.
Anyway,
he was basically, and I don't think he was kidding, like, are we going to have to do something with Miguel Cabrera soon? Is this sustainable? And he is right now among qualified batters, I think last in batting average. He's batting he's sporting a 55 OPS plus. It seems like these milestone hits are getting farther and farther apart. We on the last podcast, we said, you know, maybe there's no better place for him to do this than Detroit. And I still kind of feel that way. But he's got to help a little bit more. Got to help, Miggy.
I think he will. And I feel like my stance hasn't really changed from last week. If he hits 100 points better, does it mean that we're going to make the playoffs? Or if we sub somebody else into the lineup that hits 40 points better, does it actually mean anything? Like, I genuinely don't. I think the end destination is the same place. Might as well. You know, people get excited when he comes up to the plate at Comerica. They probably shouldn't at this point, but they do. You know, the announcer gets real loud.
Yeah, there is Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah, there's a palpable buzz in the stadium. it's not like DHing Victor Reyes or Eric Haas is going to really give us that much better of a chance. At least this way you can hear history, see history.
Zach Short batting for Miguel Cabrera would be better. Would be better.
Well, I'm not saying that these wouldn't be better. I'm just saying that it wouldn't be significantly better. And that's you ever think that you'd hear the day when Zach Short would be? There was actually a point in the game yesterday that we were at where I was like,
Zach Short's a baller.
If we pinched hit Zach Short and he was able to lay a bunt down here, that would be better than whatever outcome Miggy is going to do. And then he hit into a double play. So, yeah. So anyway, have you ever been up to Milwaukee? I feel like we discussed this
I've been to the city, but I've not been to it's not Brewers Field anymore, Miller Field anymore. Is it Miller Park?
It's American American Family?
Hugging
something like that.
Sweet.
It's an
Americana Field or something like that. Yeah.
Beautiful ball. They have a Yelly melt because you know there's like cheese and whatnot in Wisconsin, but they named a grilled cheese after Christian Yelich, which I think is really cool, and I think we should have something like that.
Did you find whimsy in the mustachioed mascot who slides down the slide?
Of course I do. Bernie Brewer. The thing that's funny is so Whit and I were actually discussing this during the game. So he slides down the slide, but what if there's a back-to-back home run? You got to get yourself back up to the chalet before there's a potential another home run to slide back down. Like, I don't know.
Is he confined to that space in preparation of home runs then? Like if the Brewers are batting, does he need to be in that spot?
Yeah, he stays in. So it's called Bernie's Chalet because everything is German or Alpine up there.
Naturally.
And he just like paces back and forth on like the deck area waiting for something to slide down the slide on. But yes, obviously I found whimsy. You know how I feel about such things.
You're jovial as can be. It's true.
The only other part that I wanted to talk about was your boy Tyler Alexander when he didn't get a chance to hit.
Oh, man.
That was just devastation on that man's face.
That's how I felt after the game was done. Just kind of slumped shoulders, dragging my bat. And almost as fun as Alexander's body language was Hinch's body language, because Hinch was smiling and kind of laughing like, yeah, I know, bud. Sorry. I know you're bummed, but I got to be the grown up, and was kind of laughing about it. I thought it was a cute, it was a simple joy moment of, you know, the disappointment and how it all played together. But I thought it was cute.
And then in a, excuse me.
How's that Nat treating you, bud?
Man, it is. It's going to
switch to Natty Light.
But then in a bit of cosmic injustice, Rule 5 Ronnie got the chance to bat, and holy crap, was that a poor attempt to bunt.
I just saw it in a GIF or a little video or something, and he looked just like a incapacitated wildebeest up there, just all limbs, and what is going on? That was a mess.
Now, do you take that as we shouldn't have the DH, or do you enjoy seeing that and want to vice versa that?
See, I've been raised on AL baseball, so I'm conflicted because I love the simplicity and kind of the symmetry of always having the DL and this is how it is, and I prefer that. But there's something about me that loves to see people fail. I like when the gymnasts fall down. I like watching a golf tournament and they hit it in the water. I like when the NASCAR guy, you know, spins in the grass in the outfield or in the infield. Like, I kind of like those moments of humanness in my sports. So I'm conflicted.
All right, let's move on to power ranking.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Power rankings. I'm going to make these quick because we, I have to tell you, we have a ton of multi-part Twitter questions today.
Oh boy, testing our intellect.
Absolutely.
It's not going to end well for anyone.
So I don't know you if you know this, but there has been a global pandemic recently.
Noticed, yeah.
And we're starting to emerge from that. And, you know, really, we're looking for what are the real markers of when the pandemic is winding down or over, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that has been in the news is that Costco is going to be again offering samples.
Let's go.
Their famous samples. And they're going to be having seating back in their food court area so you can get your $1.50 hot dog or whatever. So maybe it's time for a trip to Costco again. I have for you the top seven and the bottom three things that you should buy at Costco of Kirkland brand fame.
Let's,
are you ready?
Here
we go.
Let's do this.
Number seven is bacon. You get a nice 3-pack of bacon. It's pretty good bacon. It's cheap. You can't go wrong with bacon.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Number six, the entry siren song of the televisions. Aren't they beautiful, the televisions, when you walk into Costco? Ernie, you know, if you don't go to Costco, just use your imagination around like Sam's Club or your big box retailer. Okay. Work with me, people.
And get a Costco card because it's awesome.
We're a Costco family. So, you know, we don't associate with the Sam's people, but anyway, I digress. The TVs, when you walk in, a brilliant piece of marketing. They put the most beautiful, expensive TV right up front. You see, it's like, you know, $5,000 or whatever. It primes you to think that then everything else later in the store is relatively inexpensive. Well, at least I'm not buying the $5,000 television. Right?
Yeah.
Psychology. Mm. People up there in Kirkland, they know what they're doing. But I just this past weekend, I bought a television for my mother and father, and I went and installed it like a good son does. And it was easy. It was a cheap TV.
It's the $5,000 Vizio.
No, I got them the $320 version.
Yeah.
So cheap TVs are cheap. Get them at Costco is fine. They're enticing. Number five, I have the frozen burger logs that they have. They get that you get hamburger and then they're like in this log.
Yeah.
It's like a giant sausage. And they're 1 pound each. They're cheap. They're easy to like, you could just slice them up and make sliders, or you use them for tacos or whatever you use.
And they're ground all cut beef the exact for. Same shape. It's very,
yes.
Very satisfying.
It's very satisfying. Yeah. Get yourself some Costco burger logs. Number four, it's a little bit indulgent, but I love the butter cinnamon bread. I don't know if you're, it comes like in a pack of three, and it's just like the most indulgent, wonderful, yummy, sweet bread.
I don't know that I'm familiar with this.
Oh, yeah, you got to try it. It's super fattening, but it's an indulgence. The number three best thing you can get at Costco is booze. Okay, they have all kinds of booze. It comes in big containers. They have like the American vodka, which I never buy because I always buy North River vodka. Get yourself some artisanal Michigan grown North River vodka, who is the sponsor of Power Rankings, of course. But they have the things that you'd want to mix with.
Like bitters and whatnot.
Yeah. Bitters. I don't know if they have bitters. But anyway, they might have some vermouth. So you can have yourself a nice, Gibson or something like that.
You drink some fancy stuff.
Yeah. I podcast the entire time with my pinky out. People should know that. But booze at Costco is good. Number two is the tortilla strips. They come in this enormous bag. It's like $3 and you get an enormous bag of tortilla strips to have with your dips or salsa.
So when you say tortilla strips, is that different than your traditional tortilla chip? Like, is it long and narrow, I'm assuming?
They're long and narrow. That's exactly right, Jordan Hall.
But are they the same consistency as the regular tortilla chip? We get the tortilla chips there. They're very good chips. I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah, they're not triangular nor circular. They're strip.
I like triangular.
Yeah, there's less chance of the abrasion hitting the corners of your mouth with a triangular chip. It's geometry. The circular, that's why they have circular manholes, so they don't fall in. There's no small sides. With the triangle chip, at least you have a fighting chance of inserting an entire chip without, you know, cutting the corners of your mouth.
Who knew?
Me.
Obviously. I did.
All right. Number one thing you should get at Costco. You got a guess?
I do. They're famous for their toilet paper. Is that where you're going?
That's exactly right. You nailed it. You know, according to the famous children's book, everyone poops. Everyone poops. So you're going to need some toilet paper. And Costco has the Kirkland brand toilet paper. It's fine. It comes in a gigantic thing. You can just enjoy your time in the bathroom with our friends from Costco.
Nailed it.
Okay, a full disclosure, I bought some Costco stock, so I've got to hype it up a little bit here.
Say, did you just go to Costco for a research trip?
This is, pump and dump here, guys, from our massive audience. Okay, now, to be fair, I do have bad things to get at Costco. Are you ready?
Yeah.
You're ready. Okay. Number three from the worst is jewelry. Isn't it a little impersonal buying the jewelry from a warehouse?
Yes. I was unaware that was an option, but yes.
Oh, yeah. You know, if you're wearing some Costco jewelry right now, I don't mean to hassle you too much, but it's kind of an impersonal play, I feel like. All right. Number two from the worst is canned vegetables. They're selling them in like a crate, like a 24-pack of canned carrots or beans or whatever. They're not even that any more cheaper than getting them at Meijer or wherever else you do your grocery shopping. It just seems like it's too much. Also, you don't need that many canned vegetables. Where are you going to put them?
They have frozen vegetables that cook up much nicer, like 20 feet from there.
I'm usually a canned vegetable guy.
You would be a canned
most
vegetable
things.
Guy.
Yeah. Sorry. Especially corn. You just got to get canned corn, not frozen corn. That's a hot take. That's a take for another day.
Whatever, playboy.
Fancy boy. Okay. The worst thing to get at Costco. Do you have a guess?
This I don't have a guess for, no.
The worst thing you can get at Costco is spices. Because it comes in like a gallon. Unless you're making recipes that call for a cup of paprika, you have no reason that you should be buying spices at Costco. They go bad after like 6-12 months. And I know all of you have that spice rack that you either got for your wedding gift or, you know, you bought for your house when you first moved in. It's 12 years old now. That spice rack isn't doing you any good. Okay. Just to let you know, you got to just have a little funeral for the spices and move along. That's power rankings.
Maybe you just need to up your spice game. Have you ever considered that?
Just crush it. Just like dump cups full of spice onto my foods.
That's how you build flavor. It's what I've learned from Food Network.
I can see you watching a lot of Food Network.
We do. I've a few additions. The pre-made salad mixes that you get in the cold room.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very big into those. I hate the cold room, but I like the salad. It's so cold. Like, why does it need to be that cold? I hate the cold room.
Do you want me to take time to explain why it has to be cold? Or?
No, I know. It's the worst. I often try and, I'm going to go grab this. Wait, why don't you grab the salads? But she's on to me. So,
you're not, as the man, you're not muscling up and going into a cold room. You're trying to send your stuff.
I've got Florida blood, man. I'm not trying to freeze.
It's not a long journey.
I hate it. It is the living worst. The other thing, clothes. 35% of my wardrobe I purchased at Costco. They have
Does
great
that make
deals.
Us basic? Is that make us like basic suburban dudes?
Yes, I think it does. And I'm comfortable with that.
I don't have all. I have some Costco clothes. Not going to lie to you. Undergarments, socks and underwear.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Costco.
Shorts. They have a lot of great shorts.
Shorts, yeah.
Definitely.
They have like the kind of light material shorts that I like. Perfect. Why are we an infomercial for Costco? This is not me. I'm sorry.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
All right, nothing on the side of the road this week. Let's jump right to Twitter questions.
We have so many Twitter questions. I promised, you know, like the JV track team, everybody was going to get a chance. And that's kind of a big promise. We got to keep it moving here.
All right, rapid fire.
Michael Litzner asks, is a 400 win percentage where you expect it to be 2 months into the season?
Honestly, no. I would have expected us to be a little lower than that.
I agree with that. Thank you.
Take it.
Man, this was a good month for us, right? It's a really good month.
One game above 500. Great month. But for us, it is, yes.
I mean, I'll take that the rest of the way. You kidding me?
All day.
More emotionally than arithmetically.
There was more highs in the month of May of this season than in most of the last couple of years. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, Joshua William at Josh in the D asks, can you power rank all of the abominations that adjourned the new era local market edition Tigers capped?
Did you see
I think
these?
This means adorned, not adjourned, Joshua. I'm not going to insult you, but
stop
adorned,
insulting the listeners. It's every week.
Our listeners are the new era market edition caps. I'm just kidding, listeners. I love you.
Did you see those?
Oh, weren't they atrocious?
What
atrocious?
I saw was there was people saying that like if you'd have snapped them up before they pulled them from, you could flip them for hundreds of dollars, which says a lot about the kind of person that's buying that on the other end. I did like this. I did like Seattle one. It had an orca on it.
But what a mishmash, a complete amalgamation of whatever. It's like in Anchorman where I like Lamp, whatever they happen to see. That's what went on the cap. There was no rhyme or reason.
It's like they tried to design the cap even in Word with like clip art.
It was the clip art and like they put zip code, no, not zip codes, area codes, but didn't always get them right. Yeah, and
they really should have fact checked that. Put an intern on that.
The whole thing was a mess. Now, do you think it was a, because they pulled them down again pretty quick. Do you think it was like a marketing stunt?
Ooh, hot take. I hadn't thought about that. Maybe.
Like, let's just kind of make them mad, get a lot of attention, and then just be like, no, just kidding.
Maybe. I like that.
You're a marketing guy. Would you do would you pull a stunt like that?
Under the right circumstances.
There you go. Egg Helms at JP Skronik asks, you're curating a walk-up song playlist. Which three songs make it into your queue?
Oh.
I will say that a walk-up song is different than just picking a song that you like or is
True.
A good song.
For sure.
It needs to fit the walk-up song genre.
Mm-hmm.
My choice would be Henry Belafonte's the walk the get in line, whatever. Dun, 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 dun. I can't do it. Step in line or whatever. Henry Belafonte. I'll find it.
Sure.
You guys know it. It's from Beetlejuice. That would be a perfect walk-up song.
All right. I'll put that in the show, you know, in editing.
You will not.
I will definitely not. I'm going with the remix to Ignition, Hot and Fresh Out of the Kitchen.
Yes.
Obviously.
And maybe Dynamite by Teo Cruz just to piss off Chris Hyatt because he hates the song so much. Okay. Joshua William. You're asking two songs here, Josh?
That's fine.
Yeah,
is it? You're pissed. Is it fine?
He's asking two questions, not two songs. I still got songs in my brain. Okay. Yeah. No, Josh, you're fine. It's fine. Could a I think Josh is a new questioner and already we're alienating him. Could
we,
a roster.
We are alienating him.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's together. Just one of us.
The we that means, okay. The we that means me. Could a roster comprised entirely of, and I'm using finger quotes, old friends, i.e. former Tigers playing in Asia, beat the current Toledo Mudhens in a 7-game series?
Probably not, but I would love to see that.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I don't know.
Get them back for a reunion tour.
Quite enough to fill an entire roster. There are a lot, though.
You know how they used to have old-timers games? What if they had the Mudhens versus, like, the former Mudhens? Like, get Danny Worth back and get, you know, Colin Ballister back, and, you know.
Colin Ballister, that's a name I haven't heard in a hot minute.
You know, all the former Mudhens. And here's what I think. I think the, especially if you got a team with a lot of guys playing in Asia, the Machados and the Moyas of the world, I would think they would come close or maybe beat the Mudhens.
Yeah.
Here's the reason is they're older and more experienced, and Asia, places in Asia, they're playing at a pretty high level too. I think it would be pretty close.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to see that. I would drive 3.5 hours east to go watch that. Without
Speaking of Toledo, Daz Cameron's playing a little better.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see him.
Yeah. Tiger Nation Tom at Tom Lacombe. Do I pronounce the E?
Obviously.
Tom Lacombe 4 asks, after today's minors promotions, who is your sleeper call-up for late-season promotions?
Ooh, that's an interesting one.
I don't know.
There's not a lot of fun, usable names on the 40-man. I think that's kind of the issue.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who is it? Erasmo? Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
He'll be up at some point, I think. Yeah.
I feel like there's not a lot of actual fun names for this.
Who else is knocking at the door? Is Matt Manning going to be up? People were kind of clamoring for him when he called up Rule 5 Ronnie, but he doesn't seem ready to me.
I bet he's up by the end of the year. Specifically,
yeah, I think
in
he
September.
Will be too, but I just maybe not now.
No, I'm good on seeing him now. I don't know. I feel like we did not do well with that question, but I don't know.
I was going to say the same thing. Sorry, Tom. We'll try better next time. We didn't adequately answer that.
Yeah.
Dropkick at PNW_tenant asks, with the hubbub of unwritten rules lately, what are some unwritten rules in life that especially irk you when you see broken?
I feel like you're going to have a long on. I'm just going to sit back.
Okay, one is when you don't return your shopping cart to the corral.
Okay.
Like, this is a basic, you know, you've seen the meme maybe, but this is like a basic test of human ethics. Nobody's going to punish you if you don't return it. It's just what you need to do out of basic human dignity. Yeah. You return the cart.
Fair enough.
People who litter, that's an unwritten rule. Like, you probably won't get busted for littering. But don't throw your crap out your window. Yes, and I'm even talking about cigarette butts, smoker people. Like, don't litter.
Yeah.
That's it. There's probably more.
Mine is aggressive driving. I feel like watching someone drive can tell you everything you need to know about their personality. But the person sure. who's weaving in and out of traffic, like, you are not that important. There's nowhere that you need to be in that much of a hurry. Just chill out and drive like everyone else.
Yeah. Robert Baker at Kerba 1123 asks, which books would you give to Tigers players a la A Wrinkle in Time in Ted Lasso? Have you seen Ted Lasso?
Yeah. Have you?
It's beautiful.
It's so good. New one's coming out in July, I think, which is not very far away.
That's true. Oh, I'm excited. Yeah. I liked Ted Lasso. It was what we needed at the moment.
Definitely.
And if season two is anywhere as good as season one, yeah.
What up, fam? This is, of course, your boy Jordan here to tell you about one of my all-time favorites, Moot's Pizzeria and Bar. It is the only authentic New York pizzeria in the Motor City and has become a staple in the Detroit pizza scene. You know me, I don't play when it comes to pizza, and this is where it's at. Amongst the best of the best that they have to offer are favorites like Garlic Knots, The Uptown and the Bronx Pizza, Gemelli Pasta, and that chocolate lava cake is hotter than Andrew Romine in April. And they have some killer cocktails and a great beer and wine selection. Stop in with friends for a few pies and grab an authentic slice from the slice counter. It's going to be an instant favorite. Visit mootspizzeria.com to learn more or to place an order. And don't forget, they validate 2 hours of parking in Lot Z. Tell them Jordan and Eric sent you.
A book to give a tiger. I don't know. Hatchet's my favorite book. That tells you something about my reading level. Definitely. Maybe I'd give Hatchet to Daniel Morris or something.
That's well done. I wouldn't give any tiger a book because I generally try and have people not read. We don't want a country full of book jockeys. It's the last thing we need.
Yeah. I just read this book, an absolutely remarkable happening, the new Hank Green book, or the first Hank Green book. And it's kind of about social media. It's the first novel I've read in a long time. So I would give that to Joe Jimenez.
Joe's going to hear this and be pissed at you.
It's the main protagonist is kind of a self-absorbed narcissistic thing on social media, so maybe I'd give that to Joe, although I feel bad for Joe. I wouldn't do that now.
I don't understand the reference.
Poor Joe Jimenez. Okay, where are we? Bill Humphrey, a lot of questions this week. Bill Humphrey at Humphrey Bill, clever. the Beck Jason school of Twitter handles. Do you guys have any knowledge? No. Oh, there's more to the question. If a potential crackdown on the rosin sunscreen / pine tar will affect our new guys and their progression. Not that AJ would ever put up with that kind of shenanigans. What do you, to address this question and the bigger question of what do you make of this foreign substance?
It's going to last like 2 weeks, like all the other crackdowns.
Yeah.
Give it a month and we're back to normal as it should be. Everyone's using something. Just chill out. It's fine. It's been happening for 100 years.
I agree with you. But I think, I mean, is it possible just to remove that rule altogether or modify it in such a way that
I feel like you
there's an approved list of substances, or
I don't know, at least make them
you cannot possess more than one schmear of substance.
If we can get language like that in the rule, then yes, absolutely.
Substances shall not exceed one schmear.
Exactly.
On that, but some guys, even they have it on the brim of their head. It's so obvious. Yes. And our guys do it too.
Definitely.
It was a farmer who, one of our starters recently, or one of our people recently, it was just very obvious. Okay, moving along. We're only halfway through. Do I skip some? Or are we doing it?
All right. You're the boss here. This is your segment.
Deep breath. Pizza Slayer at JSlaw0809, who's a regular questioner.
Incoming asks, West Michigan themed question.
This law is, yeah. If the Detroit Tigers could be the main characters in an episode of Team Umizoomi, which two recent opposing MLB players would most likely play the troublemakers based on their continued success against the Tigers? Okay, this was inspired by my tweet after Scope hit a home run where I tweeted super duper super Scope instead of, and I gotta tell you, I watched a lot of Team Umizoomi as a parent, and it's like one of those earworms that sticks in your head, so I always think of Team Umizoomi. But the real question here is who always seems to get the Tigers, who is there our adversary, nemesis?
It's Luke Scott and Nelson Cruz.
Luke Scott was my number one just because he seemed to piss me off so much.
Because he wasn't good. We just against us.
Yeah. But like Jim Tomei like crushed us and was Verlander's nemesis. Yeah, but he was kind of good against everybody.
He was very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Freaking Luke Scott.
I feel like Joe Creedy.
Yeah.
For a while.
Also not
was
good.
That guy. You said Nelson Cruz. Nelson Cruz always seems to get us.
To be fair, there are a lot of those guys, specifically over the last 5 years.
For sure. Dave DeWitt at Dave DeWitt 1 asks, when should the team cut bait with Avila? Also, what is the best food at Comerica and why is it Italian sausage?
Oh, hard good pass question. On that.
Avila, I feel like we've talked about Avila's GMing a lot recently. They're just at the new dawn of a bright age here, Dave. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm not saying he is he's definitely not the best option. But to make a change, you have to identify and be able to bring in said better option. And are we going to pay up to do that?
Don't change horses midstream. Like, in the middle of a year, are the Rockies really helping themselves? I mean.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay. And that's not an endorsement. That's just where we're at.
And Dave advocates for the Italian sausage.
The chicken shawarma nachos. There's also some sort of fried chicken sandwich out in left field that I haven't tried, but I would very much like to. Big fried chicken guy.
We got to get back. Got to go back. We got to get back. At Dan Hogan 95 asks, what are the unwritten rules of podcasting? This is a good question.
This is a good question. I feel like I don't know if this is an unwritten rule or just one that I try and stick to, but I try not to have too many like, hey, download the show tweets. Try to do like one or two a day for like 2 days after the release.
We're trying to keep the self-promotion, at least on the podcast, to a minimum.
Yeah.
I would say not too many blank spaces, and you don't. When I first listened to our first couple episodes, I felt like there was a lot of pauses, and I felt like it was too slow in some places. So if anything, I try to keep it snappy. You almost can't make it too snappy.
At least one drop from at least one of the podcast host's mother.
Yeah. And I try to eat as many insects as possible per podcast. Just inhale those gnats.
As many as possible.
At Shawnee Pat asks, rank the surprises in order of joy. Seems like work, but okay. Thank you, Shawnee. I'll call them A, Badu, the everyday player, which I would almost question that assertion a little bit. Yeah. Fulmer, the competent closer. Funkhauser, the gas-throwing middleman. Or Grossman, the human OBP robot.
Well, I'm not surprised in the slightest by the first one, or by the last one. Everyone Grossman, knew Robbie was going to be an OBP machine.
Right. Surprises in order of joy. So that's heavy on joy, but low on surprise. To me, the joy still has to be Badu, right? Yeah,
I take a decent amount of joy from Fulmer finding his. Like, yeah. he's been a good servant of the club. I'm glad he's found kind of a role to hopefully sustain his success in.
Now, Funkhauser, I think it's maybe still a little bit too early.
Yeah.
But for me, it's still Badu. He plays, even when he makes mistakes, like he kind of went back in a ball, and he's still playing with a lot of passion. He's second on the team in
everything,
OPS.
And,
yeah. So for me, it's still Badu. Dropkick asks another question. This is about unwritten podcast rules. He says, I'm going to guess chastising listener questions is against one of them. It's the first rule of podcast is to insult the people who support you. Brett Yoder at Brett Yode asks, who is the most despised Tiger of the last 10 years? And why is it Mike Avilas?
He was pretty high on that list.
Is Nafi Perez in the last?
Probably.
Oh,
not.
He was a bum.
The big one that came to my mind was Dowell Lugo, just because he symbolized that JD trade.
How about Aubrey Huff?
I mean, he was only here for what? Just a few, but yeah, he kind of a dick.
And he didn't really contribute. And moving along. Where is this one? Okay. Adam Mahler, and I didn't get it to it last week, so he reminded me. Question for you. With so much obvious experience and superior talent out there, if you could replace Al with any Tiger tweeter or beat writer, who would it be? Also, would you be the worst choice? Adam, come on. Reminder, Matt Millen did not work out. Okay, who from the Tigers media tweetosphere do you want?
I feel like Dan is kind of the obvious slash maybe too easy choice. I don't know. There are a decent amount of very intelligent tweeters on both sides of the professional barrier.
I think World of Isaac could definitely help our concession situation.
Should be,
you know, Tokars would just make everything a little bit more ornery.
Definitely.
I don't know. Somebody who's always so angry, and I love just because he's always so frustrated. He's been tweeting a lot less lately. Is Gray Papke or Papke, however you say his last name, Space Monkey Mafia. He's always just so opinionated and gets so frustrated. I think they're bad, so he's kind of checked out. But I would pick him for GM. Gray, you could be the GM. I wonder where he's at. Where are you at, Gray?
He's probably a big city fan, so he's probably bumming right now.
He is a big man city. Yeah, he's a little chafed, you think?
I would imagine that all city fans are a little chafed right now.
That's a big so. Chelsea. I watched some of that game.
It's good.
Watching
good
the game. Football. Wow, here we go. More questions. Dan Hogan, Dan Hogan 95. When can we start to talk seriously about the trade deadline deals? June 1 feels way too early, no? I kind of said this already. I think it's too early.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially for guys under contract in next year.
Like July 1.
Yeah. John Fine asks, how can I make money?
OnlyFans?
There you have it, John. I got to tell you, I've met John before. And maybe he'd run a successful OnlyFans. I don't know. It's worth a try, John.
There's a lot of perverts out there.
It's true. In the words of the great American poet, Britney Spears, you want a hot body? You want a Maserati? Got to work, bitch.
It's not the first time you've quoted that on this show.
It's pure magic. David Ham at David J. Ham asks, this is a question for you. How much credit does Chris Fetter deserve for the pitching improvements? And should the front office be thinking about a very lucrative extension for him?
First of all, he can only be in the first year of his deal. So while I would love to see him here forever, I think we can probably pump the brakes there.
How long are coaching deals usually?
I don't know, but I can't imagine it's a one-year deal.
Right. Well, managers typically get like 4 years, yeah, don't they?
Kind of like players.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a very good question. I feel like he can only offer so much advice, like some of it has to be adopted and taken into game situations by the pitchers. I don't know. I feel like 50% is probably a hair bit much, but I'm willing to give it to him.
I knew you would be. Eric Hug at Eric Hug. This is a new questioner and a great username at Eric Hug.
It's probably his name.
Hugs are wonderful. And Eric is a pretty good name. Just ask Eric Haas. It's good. I believe the Brewers/Tigers logo matchup, ball glove and Old English tee, is the best in all MLB. Do you agree?
It's pretty good. The new Brewers branding is really good. Like, I really like it. And obviously, yeah, Tigers are as classy as it gets.
Did they do away with like kind of the silvery part? Yeah. Like it's all
the weedy type stuff. Yeah.
Do you like the wheat featured in the?
I didn't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know. I it's hard to say.
It's still subtle. Best, it's like, but the laces of the ball are wheat.
Yeah.
I thought that was clever.
That's fine. Yeah. I don't know. It's pretty good.
The classic, I'm holding up my palm, mm-hmm, MB for the glove, is extremely clever.
Yeah.
I like it. You know, it's almost like the Expos logo where it's spelled out in French or whatever, the initials or whatever.
Actually prefer less French just overall.
I am fancy boy. I like the French. Anthony Troy asks, what is your favorite kind of brat? I'm partial to jalapeno cheddar.
I'm right there with you, dog.
Yeah. Bob's Butcher Block.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has some good jalapeno cheddar brats.
That's where it's at.
If you're into that. You know, just the standard brat is good too. The beer brat or whatever. Do you know that Meijer is now selling a Bell's Two Hearted branded Meyer brand brat.
None of that means anything to me. So no, I did not know that.
Anyway, I found that interesting when I was at my local Meyer.
Meyer sucks.
Dave Fleece. I never know how to say his name. Eric, I need you to compare some Tigers to disc golf discs. This is a very niche question, and I don't feel comfortable doing that.
Maybe you can do that over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, that might take some time. Cabrera is a destroyer. There, now I did one. Everybody's happy. Thomas Gruendahl asks, are there any realistic silver linings in Cabrera's stat lines? Does have a terrible BABIP or something I can cling to? Does he have? Okay, got it.
I haven't checked recently, but a while back when I looked, he did have a really terrible batting average.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Yeah. Yes.
I feel like the silver lining is that it probably can only get better. It's not going to get a lot better, but he's not a, was he hitting 140 or whatever? He's probably
180.
Still,
I think
probably still a little bit better than that.
He is batting 184.
I mean, I would be shocked if he finishes the year below 200. Right? Like right. Miguel Cabrera cannot hit less than 200.
I agree with that.
So it'll get a little better.
Isaiah at Isaiah Wallace 26 asks, who do you guys think the best slash most consistent hitter is this year? In my opinion, I think it's Robbie Grossman, but I'm interested to see your opinions. It's Jamer Candelario.
It's Robbie Grossman.
What are you talking about?
They are equally as good at what they do. Jamer
he says hitter, not base getter honor.
That is a huge part of being a hitter. No, they're both, you know, if we're talking on a Madden scale, they're both 75, just at different things.
It's the clear answer to me is, okay. Oh, here, this is interesting. I'm looking it up right now. The OPS plus, which tries to normalize and averageize things. Jamer is a 120 and Robbie is a 119. They're both right there. But of course I'm right. Okay, moving along.
How many more are there of these? I'm not sure we can promise 100%.
Well, again. I promised everybody got featured, so then they piled on.
Participation trophies.
I should never promise anything to anybody. At Andrew underscore Bush asks, and why did you forget about Joe Nathan?
Oh, on Most Hated Tigers.
Oh, Most Hated.
Yeah, he was pretty hated.
This was good job, Andrew, knowing what we were going to say and knowing we're forgetting Joe Nathan. Yeah, he was a bum.
Good call.
Who else did we get? Troy Percival, who was kind of a flame out closer.
He was also like 97 years old when he came to us.
Yeah. Steve Butts at Steve B 5477 asks, which Blue Oyster Cult song most reminds you of Buck Farmer's career as a Tiger?
You're on your own with that one.
The only one I know is the cowbell one, Don't Fear the Reaper. Is that?
I think that's what we go
Buck
with.
Farmer, Don't Fear the Reaper. Sure. I guess that's the one. That's the only one I know. Brett Yoder, again, asks. That's a follow-up. Okay, one more. We did it. We're to the end. Leland's Long, at Leland's Long, asks, the fans have spoken. We want Hill and Cameron. Enough of Reyes and Mazzara. It may not change the outcome, but at least it's a move forward. You like that?
I mean, I could definitely live without Mazzara. I mean, I would send Reyes down before I DFA him or whatever.
I feel like Reyes is something can be something. He's proved it at the major league level for a half a season that he can be above average hitter.
I can see him being a fourth outfielder when we're good. I don't necessarily think he'd be a starter. But, I mean, right. Do you see Daz Cameron or Derek Hill as somebody that's contributing when we're good? I don't know. I would like to see what Daz has. He's been playing well at AAA. I'd like to see him, but I don't think there's much there on either of those accounts.
Hill just seems like a bit of a role player for me, you know, defensive sub pinch runner, which is what he was when we drafted him, which is all I get, why I get ornery. And Daz Cameron, I don't know. It's just been so inconsistent for him. You'd want to see a couple months of steadiness before you think he's going to be better than Reyes and Mazzara consistently. That's just my take. I get it though. I get you want to see some fresh faces, spice it up a little bit, but I don't think you're going to do instantly better than Reyes and Mazzara. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's it.
You did made it through Twitter questions. Fantastic job reading those.
Thank you. I tried my best. My reading was right up there with the quality of the questions, I think. So take that for what you will.
If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Hosted by Jay Hall. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain. And the show is at Podcastianos. As always, this show is brought to you by Moots Pizzeria and Bar in downtown Detroit and by North River Vodka, northrivervodka.com, and on the socials at North River Vodka. I was curious how long you were going to go before you mentioned that in Power Rankings.
I might have forgot at the very beginning.
That's all right. We doubled down later, so it made up for not mentioning it in the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. North River Vodka, made from whole fresh Michigan potatoes right here in the Great Lakes State.
Kalkaska.
Yeah.
Kalkaska. That is definitely up north.
Everybody thinks Kalkaska is up north. Even if you live in Alaska, Kalkaska is spiritually and emotionally up north.
All right. Anything else to say to the people before we get out of here? For another week. Oh, before we go, programming note, I will be on vacation in Colorado for the next 2 weeks. I'm giving Eric the login info to post things.
Yeah.
So there may or may not be something. It may or may not be intelligible. But I guess
there goes the brand.
Download at your own risk.
You never know what you might have an episode every day. You might have one 5-hour episode. You just do not know.
What you do know is that if there are listener questions, you will be insulted in them.
I'm getting better. I'm reforming myself. I'm loving the listeners more. Love you, questioners.
With that being said, we will catch you guys next week and eat them up, Tigers. Eat them up.
Goodbye.
Phrasing.
Stabilify?
That was what I was looking for. Yep.
That sounds like a prescription drug. Try Stabilify.
For moderate to severe plaque psoriasis.
That was awfully quick.
This has been a production of the Alpha Dog Podcast Network. Find more shows at alphadogagency.com/podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.